Portions of this program are pre-recorded.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there, plus the live video feed. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. It happens to be your Friday. Strings, please. Where are my horns? Exactly right. Carrie, you must be here today.
No, I am, but no, it's not me.
What day is it anyway? Where's Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
Exactly right.
Friday.
Uh-huh.
Thank God it's... Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is. Let's go ahead and make it a free speech Friday. Let's go.
Freedom.
Uh-huh.
Say that.
Bring it down. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-doo-da. Polo and Sam here, too. Getting it done on your Friday. We have a jam-packed show. I consider it a parody, but frankly, Carrie, there's no time for a parody today.
I know.
You know why I do it, right?
Busy for the people.
Do it for the people.
Nice. So maybe two more interviews, and then we can all take off today with the interview show.
They just recorded the whole damn show and just been out of
yes,
here, huh?
Yes, yes.
We've been all set. So big debate night last night. Let's open the lines right now, Sam, and we'll take calls on the debate, people's thoughts about the debate, what they saw, what they didn't see, what they know. I will give you my breakdown. I gave you my breakdown last night on Facebook Live. That's what I tend to do after a big news story. I'll go to Facebook and I'll do a live for you, and we'll just break down what it is that I think I saw, my thoughts on it, and then you can give your thoughts on it as well. A lot of people are engaged by that, and I think that I'll probably do it a little bit more often. I'm getting a couple of thousand watch live, which is new and exciting because Facebook was squelching the reach for a long time, and the reach now is almost 100,000 from last night. So I'm glad that you guys, you know, check it out and you liked it and you interjected and got your thoughts out there as well. I think after a debate or after some big news story, people just want to vent a little bit. You know what I mean, Carrie? They just want to put it out there.
I'm sure they do. Absolutely.
Oh, is that what it was? I just put hashtag fart and that's what got me the virality? Is that what opened the door, so to speak?
Yeah, a door.
Yeah, exactly right. So people want to be heard. Did you watch the entire thing? Carrie, I pulled a Carrie Lockie last night because I watched the first 25 minutes of it, and then I listened to the remaining hour, 10 minutes of it in the car.
Really?
Okay. Getting Gia, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you listened to the whole thing? Did you go back and watch it? Did you watch and listen? What'd you
do? No, I listened to the first 30 minutes on my way home, and then I watched the rest of it on TV.
There's definitely a difference. Now, knowing these two participants, I was assuming the faces they were making. You know, as you hear what they're saying, I did go back today and watch some of it. There were two key moments that ended the night for Joe Biden, completely ended the night for him. Maybe three. You can maybe say three key moments. And I found it to be interesting. Now, Biden was on his game when it came to the closing argument. He rehearsed that a lot. He was on his game when it came to, I'm a regular guy and you know me and you know him and you know my character, you know his character. We really don't. I think that might have blown up in his face a little bit. But he does okay in a couple of answers. But I think it was a landslide for Trump, and not just because I'm a Trump supporter. In watching it, Trump really did so much better this time, and I thought he won the first one too. But this time, the whole shutting the mic off for 2 minutes, if I'm on Joe Biden's side, I would have said, no, we don't want the mic shut off. Let him do whatever he wants to do. Because President Trump interrupting Biden last time helped Biden. Do you agree with that? As we watched the format, I thought the format was better.
It was, yes. I'm not a big fan, like I said yesterday, of the muting, but it was definitely less chaotic than the first one.
There was only one time that I recall the president being muted just for a couple of words where we knew his mic was off, but he tried to say something. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I found it interesting. Joe Biden interrupted Trump a lot. When both mics were on. I found it to be interesting that Biden was the one that was interrupting. But Trump did such a good job of, I believe, of interjecting the Hunter Biden hard drive laptop story that Joe Biden was forced to respond to it. And he gave this fallacious thing about 50 former intelligence people who say that it was Russian disinformation. And I've got Ron Johnson on today who's going to react to that because he's on the committee that's been investigating the Bidens. So we talked to him about that. We've got, he's a senator from Wisconsin. We've got Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. We've got Bernie Kerik, the former NYPD commissioner who has seen the hard drive and actually went with Rudy Giuliani to turn it over to the Delaware State Police. We've got also Dan Brouillette, who is the energy secretary. And think about this. Energy was a hot topic last night, one that really, really hurt Joe Biden. So interesting interviews. Got four of them today. So make sure you stick around for them. All very, very pertinent when it comes to Amy Coney Barrett or to the Bidens or to the debate or to the race for president of the United States. But watching it, the first problem Joe Biden has is he denies that he knew his son was on that board for Burisma until after he was on the board. That's just by the date, it is impossible. But he also screws up by saying, or he shows his hand by saying, I never received a dime, not a penny, from a foreign government, from a foreign company or country. And that tells me, the way he worded it tells me, okay, he didn't, but his son did. And then the big guy gets his piece. It bothered me that the president called him the big man because it was big guy was what it was in the emails. Waiting for him to say big guy, you know, make the face. big guy.
I do have to say, because that brings me back to the, you know, we did the drinking game, or we were talking about the drinking game. I did not do that last night. And I think I said, it's not going to be come on, man. It's going to be come on from Joe Biden.
Right.
You realize how many times he said that. Come on.
Well, I tweeted. I said, if you're doing the drinking game with come on, you're drunk right now.
Yeah. You're probably still drunk today at this
time.
And
he didn't say come on, man. I think he said come on, folks. But come on, he said that so many times.
Yeah.
And come on is not a good response. You're dirty. Your family's dirty. You're dirty. Big guy. Hard drive. And Biden's response is come on. So he does not dispel any of that stuff. What I found interesting was, and all of you saw this, but NPR said, we are refusing to cover this story because it's just a distraction.
Oh, I did not hear about that.
Oh, yeah, they posted it on Twitter. NPR. Okay. The editor-in-chief at NPR, National Public Radio, that we helped to fund and finance. They're telling me they've decided this news story is not a news story. But you know what blew my mind today? You see what the New York Times said?
What? No, I did not see the New York Times.
The New York Times says it is not Russian disinformation.
The New York Times said that?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They hate Trump.
Whoa.
So this story is getting legs, and when you hear what Bernie Kerik has to say next hour, you're going to go, whoa. Because we don't know anything about that hard drive yet. And the guys that know, like Bernie and Giuliani, those who have looked through the hard drive, they haven't gotten through all of it yet. And he'll tell you how much of it they've seen. And what you hear from him is going to blow your mind. Now, when it comes to the debate last night, Biden also really, really paints himself in a corner when he says, I have never said I'm going to ban fracking, or I never said I'm against fracking. Because, I mean, Trump had the video just yesterday or 2 days ago in Erie, Pennsylvania. And he said, post it on your, because Trump says you did it on video. And Biden says, post it on your website. Trump said, okay. And today, Mike Pence, Donald Trump, everybody put it on their websites. And there it is, you know, in living color. You've got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Yes, yeah, she does.
Talking about banning fracking, getting rid of fracking, getting rid of fossil fuels. They go over, over, and over. And last night, the president, again, paints him in the corner and says, so, you're going to get rid of oil? You're going to get rid of oil? Yes, yes, I am. I mean, Biden says, yes, I'm getting rid of oil.
I said, my husband and I both looked at each other like, what did he just say?
Right.
Okay. All right.
He said it.
We all heard it.
Just in oil alone, you've got about 10 million American jobs. Mm-hmm. In energy, 20 million American jobs. So he basically said, we're going to get rid of it. We're phasing it out. We're getting rid of it. Oil is polluting. It's dirty. It's no good. And the technologies we have today with natural gas, liquefied natural gas, fracking, it isn't dirty. It's not polluting anything. There's no credible study that says so. So he's in big trouble by saying that. And the death knell in a debate. Do you know the one thing a candidate can't do in a debate?
What would that be?
The one thing. Think about it. What's the one thing, without saying a word, a candidate can do to really show that he or she is losing badly and they want to get out of there?
Without saying a word?
Without saying a word. What's the one action a candidate can do?
Like bow his head, close his eyes at one point.
What's the one thing?
I don't know.
Sam, what's the one thing a candidate can do to show that he or she is losing and they want out of there? Sam, of course, answering 18,000 phone calls right now.
Because you said without saying a word, right?
Right. Sam is saying smile. No, Sam, you don't have a microphone today or what? Hello? Very weird. I thought we were connected. Maybe we're not again. Let's try it again. All right. We like to hear your lovely voice, Sam. All right. What are you saying? Smile? No, it's not smile. Anything else?
Maybe smirk or laugh?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and I posted a video of this on Twitter. Thank you for all of my crew not following me on Twitter, having any idea what I post all day and night.
I don't have Twitter.
Joe Biden looked at his watch. That's something. You know who did that also, who lost?
Who?
And he was already one-term president, but he became a lame duck. He did not win re-election. In a debate, there was a president that looked at his watch.
Was it the first Bush?
Yes. George Herbert Walker Bush looked at his watch while Ross Perot was speaking. And that was it. I mean, basically, all the steam came out of the room, all the air came out of the room. Joe Biden looked at his watch for a while. Well, this Kristen Welker was asking the question about climate change because Biden wanted the hell out of there. Now, let's talk about Kristen Welker. Going in, we knew that her family is attached to the Obamas. Going in, we knew that she's somebody who works for NBC News and that she telegraphed some questions to a Hillary Clinton operative 4 years ago. I got to tell you, she was not the story today, which means she did great. Mm-hmm. I think that she was a very good moderator because she's not the story. Chris Wallace was the story last time, and that's not the role. You're supposed to be as invisible as possible. And I got to tell you, I thought she was pretty fair. Any thoughts?
I did too. And, you know, again, because it bothers me as a journalist when you become the story. So I absolutely agree that, yes, we should not be talking about, we shouldn't ever be talking about the debate moderators anyway. So certainly out of her and Chris Wallace, I think she did a much better job.
All we say is, you know, good job or bad job, and then be done with it. Mm-hmm. After the Steve Scully debacle, I think that she went out of her way to be fair, and she did hold, I believe, Biden's feet to the fire a little bit. Mm-hmm. And she certainly held Donald Trump's feet to the fire a little bit. But, of course, Trump screws up by saying, I think you're doing a very good job. And that's the last thing any moderator wants to hear from one of the contestants is that you're doing a good job, because now they're going to go, oh, maybe I'm being too nice to him.
Exactly. But, you got to go tough. Yeah.
I think she did fine. So your thoughts on the debate last night, the second debate, the last debate, I think there should be another one. They should probably negotiate one for next week. It's not going to happen. But I think that Biden walks away from that just looking silly. And what's interesting about Biden is that when he's not speaking, he either has that weird Joker smile on or he looks like he's just lost and dazed. It's very weird to me. And I feel like Trump went in knowing he had to bite his tongue a little bit and it worked out in his favor. Your thoughts when we come back. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. We get straight to your phone calls in a moment here because a lot of people want to be heard about that debate last night. It's going to be, before that, let me tell you about Newsmax TV. The election is kicking into high gear with President Trump and Joe Biden. I've been watching Newsmax TV to get the latest news. In fact, I was on there earlier today with John Bachman. Newsmax TV is already the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Almost 10 million people tuned in last month, and Newsmax TV is covering President Trump's coverage with full live coverage on their network. And on weekends, you have to watch shows with Mike Huckabee, Michelle Malkin, The Really Funny Diamond and Silk, and many more. Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems and satellite systems like Xfinity, DirecTV, Dish, Spectrum, Cox, Optimum, Fios, UVerse. So check your cable guide. A lot of people don't have cable, can't get the big cable channels on their devices. They can get Newsmax TV free on Roku, Zumo, YouTube, Pluto, Apple TV, Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and even smart TVs like Samsung and LG. When I'm not at home, I still watch Newsmax TV. Just download it like I did on your phone from the smart from the Google Play Store or from the iOS Store. It's free. Newsmax TV, real news for real people. Make sure you go check it out right now. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. Going to be Louisiana and John. Hi, John.
Howdy.
What's happening? Come on.
Look, I got a question on the if Joe Biden and the Democrats want to shut down fracking in the oil industry, how do we move around? Even electric power takes oil, takes grease. Where do you get that with no oil industry, no energy industry?
That doesn't matter, John. They just want to say it because the far left wing green idiots want this, and they want to hear them say it. So what they're going to really do is not phase it out, just charge us a lot more money to use it. That's the game.
Yeah. Well, and another thing I have, I want to know why the Republican sides of the Senate and the Congress don't get down in the trenches and really fight like the Democrats do. It makes them look weak. It makes the whole party look weak.
Historically, you're right. The Republicans don't do it, and I appreciate the call. They don't do it. I need them to. I need them to fight harder, try harder, actually get in the trenches like the Democrats do and circle the wagons. Mark, Saginaw, love Saginaw. What's going on?
Hey, just to have a word picture to illustrate the bias of the media. Remember the 93% of peaceful protests?
That was the word,
well,
yes.
If someone walked up to you with a glass and it said 93% lemonade, wouldn't you be a little worried about the other 7%?
100%, I'd be afraid of it. They said 99% lemonade, but there's a 1% chance there's poison in here, too. Would you drink it?
No way.
Yeah, I'm with you. Very good point, my man. Appreciate that. Sophia, Oregon, what's happening? Hi.
Hi, Joe. I just wanted to talk to you just a small bit about the online process or online learning process.
Sure.
Or at least from a student's perspective. I do see a lot of benefits, but there are definitely a lot of disadvantages. You know, some of the positives being, less contact. That's something that's been on the mind of a lot of people recently, especially with COVID. You know, students are going to be a little more tech savvy with the assignments.
Right.
But then again, there's going to be the teachers or the students with lower internet, and those can always be troublesome. And I'm sorry, I'm just super nervous right now.
Well, why are you nervous? All right, so are you in school now?
No. My school doesn't go on Fridays.
Well, okay, so, I mean, but you're in school generally, but you just have a day off. So what grade are you in?
I am in the 8th grade.
Okay, so you're in 8th grade. So you'd like to go back to school. You're saying that doing it from home just might not work for some people.
Yes, I definitely would like to go back to school just to be able to see my friends in person, just give them that hug that they probably need.
Well, are you afraid of coronavirus? Because somebody your age has like almost 100% chance of not being adversely affected by it. Are you afraid of it? I mean, do you think that the governor is doing too much to keep you from going to school?
I definitely don't fear it. I just that's kind of a hard question to me, but I don't fear it. I feel that sometimes the precautions that we're taking are a little bit unnecessary.
Right.
But if it's something that we have to do, then I'll tolerate it.
I understand. Well, Sophia, I think that you bring up some very important points. You sound incredibly smart for an 8th grader. I appreciate you taking the time, too. Wow, Carrie, can you imagine if I were that smart in 8th grade, I'd be set, huh?
I know, absolutely. Too bad that did not happen for you.
It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt it didn't. I'm not as smart as she is today.
Nope.
But at the end of the day, she did great. I thought she was an adult.
I did, too.
She sounded so on top of her game. But yeah, some very serious concerns about online schooling, about not seeing your friends, issues of depression, and much more. She makes very good points for a young person. I appreciate that. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. The incredible interviews start rolling as soon as we come back. Do not touch that dial. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Parler, the email address, the live video stream is all there at the website. The Joe Pags Show, glad to have you here. Really glad to have back the Secretary of Energy of the United States of America, Dan Brouillette. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
I'm living the dream, you know that, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Wow, how timely is this interview? I mean, we're talking about the demise of fossil fuels. We're talking about oil is bad and solar and wind are good. And you and I have had constant conversations about this. The fact is, the policy of this administration, both under Rick Perry and now you, under Donald Trump, obviously, it's been to become energy independent, something that we've done. We've become a net exporter of oil and natural gas and other great technologies. Yet we're hearing a political party actually attack the good men and women who actually work in these businesses. So when you hear stuff like that from policymakers, what do you think? You know, knowing what you know about how hard we've worked on making it all clean energy, yet we're still using fossil fuels to our best ability, what's your reaction?
Well, my immediate reaction is there are folks in town, I guess, inside the Beltway here in Washington, D.C., who would like us to become dependent again on Middle Eastern nations or other nations, many of whom don't have our interests in mind when they sell us the crude oil. So I think it's unfortunate when I hear these kinds of conversations. You know, this president directed me, and as you mentioned, my predecessor, Secretary Rick Perry, a great friend, a great American, he directed us very early in this administration to pursue all forms of energy. He called it very simply, all of the above. And what he meant by that was exactly what those words mean. And that's what we've done. And because we've done that, we've become energy independent. As a matter of fact, we produce so much energy here in America today that we were able to become in 2020 a net energy exporter. That's the first time in my lifetime that that has happened.
It's Energy Secretary Dan Brouillette. Let's talk about fracking specifically. Is it dangerous? Is it bad? Is it polluting our air and our water? Because that's the selling line on the left today, that fracking is bad. We must get rid of it.
There's not a credible study out there that shows that this is a danger to the environment. We have 17 national laboratories, many of whom have looked at this technology. We understand that it's very safe. We have water technologies today where we can remove the salt, we can remove chemicals, and the water that it is leaving those facilities is actually cleaner than when it goes in. So this is not a technology that people need to be afraid of. And, Joe, as you and I have discussed over the last couple of years, it is the technology that has produced the energy boom here in America. It is the technology that has allowed us to become the number one producer of oil and gas in the world. And if you remove it, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce tells me that you will lose 19 million jobs that are affiliated with the energy industry all across the country. So think about that. We're in the middle of a pandemic. People are hurting. They're waiting to go back to work. And if we eliminated this technology, we would remove 19 million jobs at this point in time. How in the world does that make any sense?
Well, it's an interesting number. I specifically saw a number of 9.8 million, but I think this is from 2012, that are in oil alone, just oil. And as you know, the attack is on oil. What I've never understood, Dan, and maybe you can correct me or fill us in, maybe give me a better definition, but fossil fuels, to me, just the name indicates it's natural. It comes from fossils. It's synthetic. We're not making it out of nothing. We're not, you know, using styrofoam to somehow pollute the air to make a fossil fuel. It's from fossils. So it's something that is here, either God-given or earth-given, whatever you happen to believe, that we're utilizing to give us energy. Why has that been so vilified?
You know, Joe, I can't really answer that question directly, but it's not only given us energy, Joe, and that's really the important point here. Yes, roughly 80% of the electricity produced in America today comes from a fossil fuel, coal, natural gas, or oil of some type. So that's a true statement. Importantly, however, oil provides all of the plastic materials that you and I take for granted today.
Yeah.
Roughly 90%, maybe a little higher than that, of all manufactured goods in the world have a connection to chemistry. And much of that chemistry is connected to natural gas and oil, because those are the feedstocks that we need to make things like ethylene and other types of plastics that, you know, again, make up our automobiles, they make up your clothes, they make up everything that you use during your day.
It's funny because I believe it was Ted Poe, who's a good friend of mine, the former representative from Houston, and he was talking to me about somebody, some young millennial coming up and saying something about fossil fuels, this, that, and the other, and she had a beautiful pair of sunglasses on, and he said, how do you think they made those sunglasses? And she had no clue what he was talking about, because what you just said is not known to an entire generation. At the end of the day, we don't have the products and goods that we have today without the technology to use what naturally we found, whether it's natural gas or oil or whatever, to utilize for our benefit. Let me ask you specifically about pollution, about the air, the water quality, the food quality. It's my estimation, I've been putting this out there a lot, that we have the cleanest air, water, and food than we probably had in 100 years. Yeah, there used to be polluters big time, and it used to be horrible, but we've cleaned it up. And this has been, you know, a conservative administration that has done a lot to clean it up. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you're exactly right, Joe. We have the cleanest air and the cleanest water in the world. And it's because that we've taken this approach of diversifying our energy supplies, you know, pursuing things like zero emissions nuclear power to, you know, provide us electricity in our homes. It's taking the time to understand what the world, you know, is going on, what's happening in the energy space. And then, importantly, using innovation rather than regulation to achieve the outcomes that you want. And we all want clean water. We all want clean air. That's not the debate. The debate is, how do you do it? You can choose a policy course, like perhaps what they've done in California. You know, their dictate or their edict, if you will, from the state government there, is that they're going to move to 100% renewables. They're not going to take anything that's related to fossil fuels or nuclear power, for that matter. Is that going to produce cleaner air in California? Maybe for a short period of time, but I'll tell you what it'll also produce: brownouts and blackouts. They can't keep the lights on because, as you know, Joe, when the sun doesn't shine or the wind doesn't blow, you don't have energy. It takes a diverse mix of electricity generation, of energy production, to give you both what you need to grow your economy. And if you use innovation rather than regulation, you'll have cleaner air and cleaner water as a result.
Such important information, because in California, the running joke is, what'll happen when I turn on the light switch? Because a lot of times the lights won't come on, and they think they're doing better. Now they want more subsidies to try to get this alleged clean energy in higher capacity, when they've got nuclear facilities that can just be turned back on, when they can participate in fossil fuels again, which again will power what they need there. It was really short-sighted. I guess the next question has to be for Energy Secretary Dan Brugette, and I appreciate the time, Dan. The next question has to be, is wind ready? Is solar ready? Can we really, in 10 years' time, shut off fossil fuels? Is that even doable?
Not in my opinion, not today, Joe. We don't have the battery technology in America that would allow 24/7 operation of some of the renewable technologies like wind and solar. And importantly, we don't make these products in America anymore.
Yeah.
You know, much of this manufacturing over the last 20 years has moved over to China. As a matter of fact, they are the dominant player. They are the dominant manufacturer of solar panels in the world today. They're also the dominant manufacturer of battery technologies across the world today. So, you know, for those who would argue that we should move to 100% renewable technology today and forget fossil fuels, forget nuclear technologies, what you're in essence saying in today is that you're willing to move those jobs over to China, and you're willing to become dependent upon China, who we all know today has become an adversary to the United States.
It's true. It's Energy Secretary Dan Brugette. Let's talk about liquefied natural gas, LNG. There was a huge deal done by the president in the past year or so with the EU about getting liquefied natural gas out there. Again, we're an exporter of energy. He actually was very upset because Russia was getting that contract, and here we are protecting our friends in Europe from Russia as they're buying natural gas and other energy from Russia. So he got that done. And you and I were talking right before this conversation, the flow of natural gas from us to other friends around the globe is going to continue for a long time, yes?
It's going to continue for a very long time. As a matter of fact, the president directed me to extend the authorizations that we had granted at the U.S. Department of Energy, and I've just done that. We're going to extend these export authorizations out to the year 2050. And what it does is it sends a very strong signal to all the countries in the world, including those developing countries, who are begging us for our U.S. natural gas, that we're going to be open for business and we're going to be suppliers of this resource for them for a very long time to come.
I'm going to say, it's going to be a dumb guy question, Dan, but you already know that I'm kind of dumb. So natural gas, does it occur like it sounds naturally? Is it a byproduct of fracking? Do we get extra energy other than petroleum oil from or crude oil, I should say, from fracking? Do we get the, is the byproduct sellable too and usable?
It depends, Joe. It depends on what part of the country you're in.
Yeah.
There's something known as dry gas, and then there's wet gas. So when you're drilling for oil, you will have natural gas that is associated with the oil that's below ground.
Right.
And we're able to capture that and put it in the pipeline. There's also something called dry gas, where there's no oil, and it's just, you know, a big pocket in the bottom of the earth, and we drill a hole in it, and we take it out of the ground, put it in a pipeline. So two different forms of natural gas. But it's natural, to your point. It is a natural resource that we have here in the United States, and we're blessed with it.
I feel that I'm not quite as dumb by asking that question. That's good. All right, one last thing. We talked about Anwar a lot during the Obama administration because there was some caribou animal or something there. We weren't allowed to do anything. Are we exploring Anwar? I heard some geologists probably 10 or 15 years ago suggesting there was 200 years worth of supply there. Are we going to get that resource? Are we doing any exploration there?
Yes, we are. It's an enormous reserve that we have here in the United States, and the Department of Interior took some very good steps. Dave Bernhardt is a good friend of mine. He's the secretary there. He has been very aggressive in opening up those reserves to production, you know, sensibly and responsibly, but opening them up because, you know, as we talked about in the past, Joe, you know, we are blessed with resources here in America. We have enormous amounts of energy to produce. President's leadership,
yeah.
We will continue to make this country energy independent.
It is, it's Dan Brouillette. He's the Energy Secretary of the United States of America. Just one last comment, and maybe you've got something on it, maybe you don't. But at the end of the day, I can't figure out for the life of me in my 54 years why it is that we ever wanted to be so dependent on foreign actors, especially some who just don't even like us, when we had all of this supply here. Dan, is it your opinion that it was just politics?
Well, I think it had something to do with politics, no question about that. Policymakers of a different era had a different idea about what we should do. There were some who were making the point that we should be globalist in nature and we should trade these resources. And that's fine as long as it's trade and not dependency.
Right.
And I think we went a little too far in certain cases and we got a little out of hand. But I'm happy to report, proud to be a part of, you know, this effort that the president has led to make us energy independent.
Energy Secretary Dan Brouillette, the great United States of America. I always appreciate the time, Dan. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Great to be with you.
All right, brother. Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Always a pleasure to have the Secretary of the Department of Energy for the United States of America. It's Dan Brouillette, and some great answers to questions that were brought up not only last night, but have been brought up by the left for many years. These political activists are out there making things up about why we need this so-called Green New Deal, and it's just not the case. And Chad Prather over on Twitter a minute ago made a very good case. Joe Biden wants more plexiglass put between people and restaurants and in churches and everywhere in school. Plexiglass is made out of oil products, petroleum products. I'm just going to put it out there. And Joe would like to get rid of that. No more fossil fuels. So good to have Dan Brouillette on next hour. It's going to be Bernard Kerik, and it will be Senator Ron Johnson next hour. Ron Johnson is the chair of the committee that's been investigating the Bidens for a while, and the media is lying and saying that Ron Johnson and his committee somehow said there's no criminal activity here. That's they somehow exonerated Joe Biden. That's not the case. Even Biden said it last night. So your calls on the debate from last night, we'll take some of those before we hit the break here. And keep in mind, next hour, another big hour, a couple of big interviews that you're going to want to hear, because these guys have information. Bernie Kerik, who has seen the hard drive, has seen what's on the hard drive, and is part of the investigative team looking into it with Rudy Giuliani and Senator Ron Johnson next hour. So make sure you stick around for that. Let me go to tell you about Stamps.com. Stamps.com knows that going to the post office, although it can be a pleasant experience, you have to wait in a long line. And now with social distancing, 6 to 8 feet apart, you got a mask on, it's kind of a hassle. So why not take care of your postage, or your UPS shipping also, right there at your computer at your home or your home office, your office, whatever it happens to be. Mail and ship anything from the convenience of that home or office with Stamps.com. Stamps.com brings the services of the Postal Service and UPS to your computer. It's a must-have for any business, whether you're a small office, an online seller, could be a huge warehouse seller. Stamps.com is going to make things easier for you. It's kind of a no-brainer, saving you time and money. No wonder over 900,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. Don't spend a minute of your holiday season at the post office. Sign up for Stamps.com instead. No risk here. Use my promo code PAGS. You get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in my name, PAGS, P-A-G-S. Stamps.com. Type in PAGS. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. We go to the phone line. It's going to be line one, and Ethan, who's in Texas. Hi, Ethan. What's going on?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. How's it going?
Oh, living the dream, man. Talk to me.
Hey, I just want to know, with regards to the debate, is it too late for another one? Like you mentioned, we should have one next week.
No, it's not too late, but I don't think Biden would ever agree to it. Trump is going to do 5 rallies tomorrow alone, so I think Trump has the energy to do it. I just don't think Joe Biden's team would say yes.
All right. And secondly, with finding the laptop, the emails, everything coming out, with people that early voted, they can't change their vote. So, I mean, this is kind of like, it's crazy that it's coming 2 weeks before the election.
Ethan, that's a good comment that you made, and I want you to listen on the radio because I've got an answer for you. Ron Johnson says maybe they can. He's hearing from a lot of people in Wisconsin, which is where he's from, who have already voted, and they want to know if they can change their votes. Interesting question. Carrie, do you think they can?
Change their votes?
They've mailed in their ballot.
Uh-huh.
Now they're hearing new information, and they're thinking, I might want to change my vote. Can they?
I don't know. I would say no.
I mean, it sounds like a solid no, right? It sounds like a solid no.
Yeah.
Maybe
unless he's
they
telling
can.
You something different, really.
I don't know. You got to stick around for these interviews, is all I'm saying.
Oh, I shall. Yes.
Really incredible information. Let me go to Barry in Ohio. Barry, about a minute. Let's go.
Yeah, Mike. My question is, the Democrats want to do away with the fossil fuels and such. They want to go to all these electric cars and that type of thing.
Right.
I wonder how they're going to run them because tires are made of petroleum.
No, we're going to have to put tires that are made out of leaves.
Tires are made out of leaves.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's dumb. It's undoable. 90% of the products that we have out there in plastics products are made from fossil fuels. What, you don't have any sunglasses anymore? No plexiglass anymore? No plastic in your house or in your car? I mean, come on, man. And how do you think you're charging up these batteries in these electric cars? I mean, generally speaking, through generation by fossil fuels. The idea that we've somehow vilified fossil fuels is the dumbest idea I've seen, but Joe Biden knows he's got to kiss up to the far-left progressives. He thinks that's the future of the party, and it may very well be. But the party isn't there right now, and I'm here to tell you, there are a lot of people who are Democrats or are leaning left who, after hearing this week's information, are thinking twice and going, well, what can I do if I've already voted? Stick around. We've got Senator Ron Johnson, also Bernard Kerik next hour. Really great information on this Biden scandal. Keep it here.
Joe Pags. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there, plus the live video feed. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride on your Friday. Strings, please. And do we have horns today? Yes. Cheeseburger for lunch. Cheeseburger. Carrie, you too?
No, not me too.
You can smell it.
What day is it anyway? Where is Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
What?
Thank God it's
Friday. Hey, Mitchell.
Thank God it is Friday.
What's the matter with you?
Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
You can smell it.
Let's make it a free speech Friday. Let's go.
Free speech Friday.
Ah, freedom.
Freedom.
Uh-huh.
Freedom.
Say what?
Come on, man.
Uh-huh. Well, Carrie's actually here today.
Hey, yeah.
Look at that.
Two Fridays
in
a row.
How are you?
Doing fine. I'm glad it's Friday.
It is Friday. We're making it happen for you. We've got a lot of interviews coming your way. In fact, I've got the U.S. Senator from the great state of Wisconsin. He's the guy who chairs that committee, been looking into the Biden crime family. And for some reason, the left is trying to pretend, and the Bidens are trying to pretend, that his committee let them off the hook, which is simply not the case. So it is the senator, the Republican from the great state of Wisconsin, who is not looking for the spotlight on this at all. It's Senator Ron Johnson. Ron, how are you?
Great, Joe. No, I'm just looking for the truth.
Right. And that's what's in question. And you and I have talked about this a million times now, Ron. The truth should not be in question. It is what it is, for lack of a better term. And they're trying to say, and by they, I mean those on the left who are protecting Joe Biden, are saying that your committee specifically, this Republican committee, found no criminal activity. There's nothing to see here. Is that what your committee found?
Absolutely not. Now, again, we didn't allege anything illegal because that's not our job.
Right.
Our job is oversight. We gather information to inform public policy, but also to inform the public. And we got a lot of information, and we've shown some pretty troubling business connections. The basic fact that Joe Biden or Hunter Biden and members of the Biden family were using that name and profiting off of it around the world. And so, no, we showed all kinds of troubling information that needs to be further investigated. Quite honestly, it's acted as a catalyst. The people are crowdsourcing now. We've got whistleblowers coming forward. So
right.
Now we've got a shop owner out of Delaware that finally made public the fact that he had that computer that he turned over to the FBI. He saved the data on disk drive. We've got Devin Archer's co-conspirator sitting in jail, who's given Peter Schweitzer access to his Gmail account. So we've got emails from that. Now we've got Tony Bublinski, who's come forward, who's also working with Hunter Biden, can certainly prove that Joe Biden is telling a lie when he said that I never spoke to Hunter about his overseas businesses. Well, Tony met with Joe and Hunter, and they're talking about overseas businesses. So we'd also prove in our report that Joe Biden had lied as well. So that was kind of the bottom line. We've got a man who's running for president who has all these overseas business entanglements through his family, and he's lied about it. Bold-faced American public, and the press is ignoring it.
It is Senator Ron Johnson, and this is all such incredible information. I just want to make sure that we're extremely clear, crystal clear. It is not the job of you nor the committee to say crimes were done. It's your job to oversee what happened, look through it, and then here's our information, do what you will with it. So it was never up to you to say crimes are or are not happening.
No, what we would do normally, we'd say we think maybe crimes are here, and we provide a criminal referral. But, a lot of our information was based on confidential financial records that, quite honestly, I think the Justice Department, Treasury Department ought to have been acting on initially. It's
right.
Not like we discovered this. We got this out of their database. But that's so Joe, there are three scandals here. You've got the Biden family businesses, the
right.
Overseas entanglements. That's a scandal. You have the scandal of the suppression of an enormous and incredibly important news story by mainstream media and social media. Then you have the suppression of information by the deep state. The fact that they have done everything they could possibly do to hinder our requests, our legitimate oversight requests, and we have not been able to extract the kind of information that the American public should have been aware of months, if not years ago. That's the third scandal, the deep state.
I've got to ask you about the Russian disinformation thing that's out there. And this is what's being said. Ron, you've heard it. This is Russian disinformation. Joe Biden has a letter from 50 former intelligence chiefs of some sort. They're on the left and they're on the right. They're Republican and they're Democrat, all saying this is clearly Russian disinformation. Did you give these 50 people the information that they're talking about?
No.
If not, what have they seen?
First of all, it's total BS. It's not what the letter says, by the way. But these are all deep staters. They know exactly what they're doing. Read carefully what the letter says. So, we've been involved in the intelligence community, and this sure has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. So they feed that to Joe Biden, his campaign, so that Joe can then go the extra mile and say, you got 50 intelligence community professionals saying this is Russian disinformation.
Right.
That's not what they're saying. They never should have issued that letter. But this is the same old Russian disinformation canard that has worked beautifully for Democrats in the press, really since the DNC hacking, that email hacking system. So, Joe, I've never seen evidence that Russia actually hacked the DNC server.
Neither have I. And they're saying it as if it's fact.
Right. And they're saying it's fact. It's just like the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, even though the curtain's drawn back. Don't look at those emails, those anti-Catholic, those gross emails sent by people high up in the Democratic power structure. Don't look at the emails. This is Russian disinformation. This is Russian interference. Concentrate on that. And it works so well for that. They say, hey, let's try it against President Trump. Let's sabotage his administration and say that he colluded with the Russians, that his election was illegitimate because Russia interfered in his election. Now they're trying to, on Chuck Grassley and I, they actually created a false intelligence product to accuse us of accepting Russian disinformation to marginalize and discredit our report. So they have to actually look at the facts, look at the truth. And now they're doing it with the computer from Hunter Biden. They're doing it with Tony Bublinski.
Right.
They're doing it with the Gmail account from Bevin Cooney. This is what they do, and the press is complicit in it.
I couldn't
they're
agree more.
To say, oh, yeah, let's not actually look at the information.
Right.
It's damaging to our guys, to the Democratic Party, to liberal progressives. Let's keep throwing up this Russian disinformation canard again, but with a caveat. I don't deny that Russia's trying to interfere in our elections and interfere with our politics. Iran's doing it. China's doing it. What I would argue, though, the effect on our politics by the actual Russian interference pales in comparison by orders of magnitude to how Democrats have weaponized it and how the mainstream media has carried Democrats' water. There is the real election interference, Democrat interference, and the mainstream media's craven politicization and bias.
You are verifiably correct, and you know that. What's interesting is now you've got different factions of the media starting to crack, and maybe it's because of Bublinski coming forward yesterday, but the NPR, which gets money from the taxpayers, said we're not going to cover this story of the laptop or Hunter Biden or Joe Biden's allegations because it's a distraction. NPR said that with our money. And then the New York Times, that can't stand President Trump, said, yeah, it's not Russian disinformation. So now they're at odds with each other a little bit. But we do know, going back just a few days, Ron, that the New York Post, the fourth largest circulated newspaper on earth, put out this story about the laptop, which has been verified to be Hunter Biden's. His lawyer called the shop to get it back. We know it's his. The New York Post put that story out. You couldn't retweet it. I couldn't retweet it. Nobody could send it out. Nobody could disseminate this information. And now the social media heads are going to be subpoenaed to come to the Senate. Can something be done, in your opinion, to stop this squelching of just free information? Because that's all they did. It was a story they didn't like, so they stopped it. Doesn't matter if it's verified or not.
Yeah, we're discussing this in the Senate right now. I personally don't believe the solution is get rid of the Section 230 liability protection. That really is the goose. Let's not kill the goose that laid the golden egg here. That's allowed the internet to flourish. What I would think is a better idea is complete transparency. I was actually talking to Senator Rick Scott. I hope he doesn't mind me giving him credit for this idea, but he said we ought to allow users that are taken down without transparency to sue.
Yes.
So people who are denied free speech ought to be able to sue. I don't want those platforms to be sued in case they have bad information on there. Otherwise, we'll have greater suppression. We'll have greater censorship.
Right.
But they ought to have standards. They ought to be transparent. They ought to be published. That's actually out of an article by Andy Kessler in the Wall Street Journal. Has a very thoughtful piece. So, I'm a little concerned about the rush to deny the Section 230 liability protection, I don't think that's the right solution. There are better solutions here.
Well, it won't be denied if they just act as platforms and not publishers. They're acting as publishers when they tell Ron Johnson or Joe Pagliarulo that we can't put out what we want, especially if it's true. It doesn't make any sense why they would squelch us. But I hear what you're saying. More free speech is better than less free speech, and I get that. Let me ask you very directly in the minute or so that we have left. Did Hunter Biden get $3.5 million from the wife of the Moscow mayor?
Yes, business interests that he has, businesses that he has an ownership interest in, yes, they got $3.5 million.
And Joe Biden's denying that.
There are more emails, talking about between Devin and Archer, between Devin and Hunter, saying we need that money, get it to us.
Yeah, I mean, because that's being denied by the Biden campaign, obviously. Do you know for a fact that Joe Biden did know that Hunter was going to be put on that board of Burisma? Biden again last night said, I found out after he was on the board that he was on the board of some company called Burisma. We've got pictures of Joe Biden playing golf with these guys. Did he really not know his son was getting a job he wasn't qualified for?
I mean, I don't believe that he didn't know. I mean, again, Devin Archer met with Joe Biden on April 16th, 5 days before Joe Biden traveled to Ukraine, gave a speech before the RADA about anti-corruption. That same day, Devin Archer joined the board on April 22nd. A few weeks later, Burisma announced that Hunter Biden was on the board, didn't announce it publicly.
Right.
But we are seeing information that Hunter Biden might have been on the board even earlier than that. So, yeah, again, we don't have all the information on that, but it is just not believable that Joe Biden wasn't fully aware of this.
Do we know why Hunter Biden was on Air Force Two going to China with his father? And I know that the family members of the president's family are very closely watched in a foreign land to make sure that they're safe. So somebody in the Secret Service or somebody in the Treasury, somebody in the intelligence agencies knew what Hunter Biden did in China for those 3, 4, 5 days. Do we know why he went to China officially? And what have you found out unofficially that we didn't know about?
No, I think he has his own separate business agenda. One of the things we do know that he helped arrange for, quote, a handshake with his eventual business partner, Jonathan Lee, in setting up one of these capital formation companies. Now, what's so interesting about these capital formation companies? This is somewhat speculation, but
yeah,
this is Chinese capital trying to buy assets in the U.S. Now, we already know that they were involved in one transaction where Chinese owners purchased a dual-use auto parts manufacturer. In other words, they're manufacturing auto parts, but also can be dual-use for military purposes. They're trying to grease the skids. If they can find a manufacturer that helps the PLA, and a lot of these Chinese nationals they're doing business with had connections to the PLA, you've got it. You're going to grease the skids, just like Hillary Clinton greased the skids in terms of the CFIUS approval for Uranium One.
Exactly.
So that's the kind of activity that could be happening here, as well as money laundering and all kinds of things. Again, we don't know 100%. That's why it requires so much more investigation.
It's the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. It is Senator Ron Johnson. One last one. Do you know from your committee about Joe Biden's brother and his alleged development deal in Iraq? I mean, this thing was like a what? Joe Biden's brother, who isn't a builder, is not a developer, suddenly was going to make millions of dollars developing things in Iraq. Do you know about that?
We haven't investigated that personally. I've heard about these things. I've actually asked my staff to look into these, some other things that have been publicly reported, and we should probably start digging up some information on that. We've actually sent a letter to James Biden because he was on that email chain that Tony Bobulinski was on as well, and we're trying to get documents from him.
The last thing on this, and I thank you for answering these very directly, because people are confused about what's going on. Last night and how the president brought it up, I thought was very, very smart. Would you have done anything differently than he did last night? I think he brought it up very directly, and he forced Joe Biden to either lie again or to say that he was just completely clueless about everything. But he did say, I knew nothing about it, and I received no money from any foreign country.
We also said that Hunter received no money from anybody else.
We know that's a lie.
We got in our report the transfers of $5 million from this company, CEFC, into one of Hunter's businesses, and then transferred into Hunter's law firm business as well. So, no, I mean, this is known.
It is Senator Ron Johnson. Really great job on that committee. I'm glad that you cleared the air about how the media is saying, actually using you as the reason why this isn't true, when, in fact, that's not what your committee said at all. And I thank you for clearing that up.
Have a great day. Stay healthy.
All right, brother. We're back after this at the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Your thoughts about what we just heard. Because here's the top trend on Twitter right now, Carrie. I'm not even kidding. The top trend is Hunter Biden's position with the Ukrainian energy company did not affect U.S. policy, according to a GOP-led report. They're talking about Ron Johnson's report, where he just said that's BS. He just now said that on my show. Yet the media is still doing exactly what he said they're doing and what I said they're doing.
They're going to continue to do. Yep.
It is 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Your thoughts on what you just heard. We're going to get really real with Bernard Carrick at the bottom of the hour. He's on the investigative team looking into this hard drive. You'll hear what percentage they've even seen of the hard drive. So what we've seen is almost nothing. And the thing is, and this is already out there, so I'll say it now, but we'll expand upon it in the interview. The FBI's had this hard drive and this computer for almost a year. They've had it since December 2019. Okay, what on earth is this agency doing if they're not investigating something they've had for almost a year?
I don't know. It's a good question. We need an answer.
You figured that you'd look through it. You'd see immediately all of these disgusting pictures, all of these disgusting videos.
Mm-hmm.
You would see these emails, these text messages that basically prove that Joe Biden is lying to everybody. And at the end of the day, you just sit on it, and then NPR says, "Yeah, we're not going to run this story. It's a distraction." This is the big media doing everything it can. But there's a kink in the armor. Is it a kink or a chink?
I thought it was chink, but
yeah, it could be a chink, right? Because I think the armor would make a chink sound if there's something wrong. There's a chink in the armor, and Polo sent this around to us a little while ago. That CNN is actually what are they doing? CNN says Biden falsely claims he never opposed fracking.
Mm-hmm.
CNN 2 weeks ago would have just said nothing. They would never have fact-checked him and called him out. I mean, that's what the CNN headline is. I'm not even kidding. That is on CNN. Biden falsely claims he never opposed fracking.
That's pretty big for CNN to say.
Right. So what is CNN doing? Do you think that they're covering all bases in case Trump wins re-election?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to tell what these news outlets are doing. I don't have
Ron and I talked after, my buddy Ron, you don't call him, you call him Senator, right? I just call him Ron.
Yeah, he's your friend, right?
Ron and I talked after the interview today, and I said, so what's going on with these people who have already voted? He said, we are hearing from so many people who have already voted who now want to change their vote, and many of them are Biden voters. And I said, well, they're screwed, right? He said, well, no, not really. When you go to vote in person on election day, this is according to Ron, and check this with your local election official. You go to the polling place on election day. You tell them, I already did a mail-in ballot, but I want to invalidate that by voting today instead. So the process that's in place is, if you go on November 3rd and you vote, and you already have a mail-in ballot, your vote in person will invalidate the mail-in ballot. You don't want to be trying to vote twice. Let them know you're not looking to break any laws or anything. You just want to make sure that your vote is counted, and today's vote is the one that I want counted. So you go there and ask those questions. You might get turned away, I don't know. Wow. But it seems to be that you'll invalidate the original vote by going and voting in person on the day of. So that's the answer to that question, the best answer I have. I would suggest to you that you contact your local election officials in your county, in your district, and make doubly sure and triply sure. But it sounds like you might be able to do it that way. When we come back, a startling interview with Bernie Carrick you're not going to want to miss. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Parler, the email address, it's all right there, plus the live video stream. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back the former NYPD police commissioner. It's Bernard Carrick. Bernie, how are you?
I'm good, Joe.
It's always good to talk to you. We've got to jump right into this. You're involved in this situation with the hard drive, Hunter Biden's laptop. And by involved, I mean you went with Rudy Giuliani to drop it off in Delaware, right? Just the other day.
Yeah, about 4 or 5 days ago, we went down to Newcastle, Delaware, to the county police there. We gave them a series of photos, maybe 30 to 40 photos. We gave them some emails that correspond with some of the photos, and we gave them an actual copy of the hard drive.
I don't know how many copies of the hard drive there are, but this shop owner seems to be very smart, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this. He finally finds out what's on here, and the story is pretty clear now, although the left wants to deny it. Hunter Biden drops it off. He signs the paperwork. He knows if he doesn't pick it up in 90 days, it gets forfeited. Shop owner keeps it, and for months doesn't do anything until he sees how badly the president's being treated. He knows who dropped off the hard drive or the computer, and now that it's fixed, he wants to see what's on there. He takes a look, and that's when he starts making copies for his own protection. Smart move?
Yeah, pretty smart move. He actually told our lawyer, Giuliani's lawyer, that he was afraid of somebody would kill him. That's why he made a copy of the hard drive. He made a few copies, one of which he sent to his father in Albuquerque, New Mexico. His father worked for the Air Force, some kind of intelligence position. His father actually sent it to the Bureau, and the Bureau had the Delaware FBI pick it up from the vendor. That was on December 9th. They actually got a search warrant for it, a subpoena, a grand jury subpoena. They picked it up on September 9th, and that was the last we heard of it until it came into our possession several weeks ago.
It's Bernard Carrick. Get his book called The Grave Above the Grave. It's a novel about what could have happened right after 9/11, and it really makes a lot of sense. I want you to go and check that out. Now, you just said, you kind of said it quickly, but I'm sorry, they've had it since December 9th, like of last year?
Yeah, December 9th.
Why has nothing been done with this?
Well, you know, that's something the president has to ask the attorney general. This is, there's two primary issues here, Joe. There's overwhelming criminality that's easily determined in reviewing the emails, documents, text messages that are in the computer, in the drive. Some of that the president actually talked about last night. And then there's some other stuff that Giuliani and I found that relates to child endangerment. That we went directly to the authorities, the county authorities, state authorities down in Delaware to give them because it's a reportable event. There's a state reporting mechanism, a mandate.
Yeah.
If you come across stuff like this, to give it to the state authorities. We did that. You know, it's yet to be seen what they'll do with it.
It is Bernard Carrick, again, former NYPD commissioner. Also, go and follow him on all the social media. I think you do a great job sticking up for the truth on there. As a law enforcement guy, had somebody brought you, when you were in that role, this hard drive, this computer, you take immediate action, don't you? I mean, what's the first step that you take? And I don't get why the DOJ under this current president, I get under Obama why they'd protect Biden, but why under this president wouldn't they do something? So first question is, what would you do as a law enforcement guy if I hand you all this information?
Well, the first thing you do is you secure it, you'd authenticate it, which they did when they got it in Albuquerque, and then you start sending out grand jury subpoenas to the relevant players involved and begin your investigation. To our knowledge, none of that has happened, and we know that is pretty, we're pretty confident about that because some of the people contacting us now are actually witnesses that are on those emails.
Wow.
That are named in those emails, and they're coming forward now saying, you know, Joe Biden keeps saying this stuff never happened, but that's me. That is my name.
Right.
That email is my email or an email to me. I received it, and Joe Biden's lying. So, you know, at this point, I have to tell you, the FBI has no choice but to investigate and move forward because the evidence is overwhelming.
It's Bernard Carrick. You know, in watching last night, Joe Biden's response to this was, it's Russian disinformation. He said there are 50 former intelligence, high-level intelligence people, both on the left and the right, who agree it's Russian disinformation. We actually just had the New York Times today, Bernie, who hates Donald Trump, say it's not Russian disinformation. We had the DNI the other day say it's not Russian disinformation. Is it your opinion that this is the Biden campaign's trick? We're just going to keep on saying it's Russian disinformation. Let's get through November 3rd.
Well, Joe, there's a couple of things. So let me start here. The 50 or so intelligence officials that he's talking about saying this is Russian disinformation, they haven't seen it. They haven't seen what I've seen. They don't have a copy of the hard drive, and they don't have a copy of the computer. So that's number one. Number two, unless the Russians hypnotized Hunter Biden and sent him into that computer shop with the phony computer, it's real because Hunter Biden delivered it. He signed for it. We've compared his signature to other documents, and everything in there is his, including several videos. I mean, several, you know, a lot. A lot of videos, many compromising videos, but it's him. It's him. It's nobody else. It's him.
It is Bernard Carrick. Also, you were telling me this the other day when we were speaking privately that if it's not his, why does the lawyer contact the shop to get it back? Why would you want, right? I mean, that's just that. Well, if nothing else, that verifies it, right?
Joe, as soon as the New York Post started making inquiries to Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden's attorney immediately called the shop owner. And if it wasn't his, how would he know where it was?
Right.
He called the shop owner and he said, I need to get this back. And at that point, the shop owner told him no, because the FBI has it. So at the end of the day, it's Hunter Biden's computer. The hard drives are replicas of the computer. This isn't disinformation. And the damning thing for the Hunter family is the evidence on there is completely overwhelming with regard to, you know, financial deals with foreign countries, FARA violations. There's a bunch going on that the FBI is going to have to look at.
It's Bernard Carrick, former NYPD commissioner, also author of The Grave Above the Grave. Go and get that book, and is involved in this investigation. But let me ask you this. Last night, Joe Biden said something that I found to be very interesting, and as a former journalist, I listened to every word very carefully. He said, I have never received any money from a foreign country. He said, I have never received that. We know from the only the emails, Bernie, I don't know what you know on his hard drive, but from what's been released, we know that Hunter is complaining about having to pay, having to give 50% to the big guy. They're talking about 10% hit for the big guy in this other deal. Hey, when we do this deal, it'll be another this percent for the big guy. You know, we know that the big guy is Joe Biden. So Biden probably tells the truth when he says he never directly got the money. He was using his son to deliver it to him, no?
Well, his son was the bagman, basically. You know, that's the way the mafia used to, you know, identify their guys. Hunter was the bag man, or Jim Biden, Joe's brother. We know Jim was involved in a number of the deals. It's all over the emails and text messages.
Right.
Joe may be right. He hasn't personally taken any money directly from a foreign country.
Right.
He didn't have to. His percentage of the projects was coming directly from Joe and Jim, Hunter and Jim Biden.
When Joe Biden says, I only found out Hunter was on the board after he was on the board, is he telling the truth?
That's a lie.
Without a doubt, you've got proof that he not only knew, but I'm guessing probably gave the wink and a nod to get him on the board, no?
Right. That's a lie. Joe, I want you to think from a logical perspective. You have a son. He's 30, 40 years old. The son travels to China with you on Air Force Two. He goes all the way around the world. You go into your state visit. Your son goes somewhere where basically the CIA and the OGA has to send assets with him to make sure he doesn't get snatched, to make sure there's no extortion attempts and all this other garbage. But at the end of the day, the son comes back. They get back on the plane. They're going on an 18-hour ride back to the U.S. At no point did I can't even say it without laughing. Did Joe Biden look over at his son and say, okay, dude, what'd you do? You know, what were you doing there? Why were you there? Where'd you go? Who did you see?
And what's interesting is something that you just said is very important. The entire administration had to know what his plan was. And even if they didn't know what Hunter's plan was, they followed him to give him protection. So the administration had to know that he wasn't just hanging out, getting a tan in China.
Yeah, and listen, the way this works, you know, under the rules of protection for the VP, for the president, any family member that was going to deviate from the state visit and go anywhere else, there are assets that we have, whether it's part of the Secret Service deal, the CIA, OGA, other government entities. They create a security blanket for that target, and you know they're with them, so they know where they go, they know who they talk to, they know what their visit was like. What's strange is this is a guy that was a pretty much in my view, and I know people have called him an addict. Hunter Biden is a functioning junkie. Wow. And I can say that because I've seen, you know, 100 different videos and photos of him smoking crack to the point that he can't even function.
Wow.
But he was functioning in a capacity where he would get stoned, blasted out of his mind, get up, go to a meeting, do what he has to do, come back, and within 24 hours after he would do one of these deals, 24 to 48 hours, he'd be completely annihilated. Wow. That was the way he lived. Do not tell me that our intelligence people didn't know that. Don't tell me that the FBI didn't know it, because if they did, if they really didn't know it, if nobody knew this, we have the most incompetent investigators in the world.
I couldn't agree more. It's Bernard Kara. Get the book, The Grave Above the Grave. He's involved in this investigation to that hard drive, that computer. Delaware State Police will now decide if there's something criminal here. And the details are slowly but surely coming out, and it could be about child endangerment and other things as well. We'll find out what Hunter Biden's issue is there. The bigger picture is this. Joe Biden is implicated 30,000 different times on this hard drive that he was the ringleader, basically. If this were a mafia thing and you related to the mafia earlier, he would be the boss. And then you'd have, you know, the conciliary, you'd have the underboss, and then you'd have a bunch of people out there, you know, on the streets as his soldiers. That sounds like how it's put together. Is that right?
That's pretty much right. You know, and it's spread out into different countries, different deals. This is the classic example of a RICO case.
Right.
That's what this should be. This should be a RICO case. And when you look at the table of organization, Joe Biden is going to be sitting at the top of the page.
Mm. Bernie, before I let you go, I've got to ask you this. I know that you've seen the hard drive and you guys, again, delivered it. Many people have it. People in investigative areas, I guess the family who received it at that shop still has a copy smartly. But I've got to ask you, what percentage do you think we, the public, know about what's on there? And how bad does it get?
Joe, forget about what percentage you know. We're only halfway through it.
Are only halfway through it.
There's 28,000 images.
Whoa.
28,000. There's about 40,000 text messages, about 40,000 emails, not to mention other documents and other things on the computer. So, you know, we're going through it, but there's only 8 hours in a day and,
right.
You know, so many hours in a day and, you know, I'm having a hard time functioning. My eyes were fried the other day.
Right.
You know, we're doing the best we can. But a lot is coming out. And now you have, in addition to the hard drive and the computer, you have witnesses that are outraged that Joe Biden is standing up in public saying, you know, I had nothing to do with this, because they know different. And now they're coming forward. You know, when you're the target or the subject of an investigation in this country, you're read your Miranda rights.
Right.
You have the right to remain silent. If I was Joe Biden, I'd take that. I'd remain silent, because every time he opens his mouth and says, I wasn't involved, it's another statement that contradicts reality.
It is Bernard Kara. You're right. These witnesses are not only coming out now, but they're coming out on purpose because of their safety. I think if you get in front of a camera and you identify yourself and you say, I'm involved in this, I was the guy in those emails, on those texts, that's going to get you more safety than if you try to hide because suddenly you disappear.
Right.
It's a rough situation that we're facing with a little over a week to go before the election. And I said last question, I mean it this time. When it comes to the election, which is right around the corner, is this important enough that every person before they cast a ballot needs to know what's going on? Because the big media is trying to hide you what you're saying, and they're attacking Giuliani. How important is it that people find out about this?
I don't think there's anything more important, Joe. Joe Biden is compromised. Joe Biden has vulnerabilities amongst himself and his family that could be a national security threat that we've never seen involving a president in this country ever. Wow. So he cannot get that job. He can't have that job. And I think the American people need to know this so they can make the right decision.
Hopefully we have enough time to get the truth out there, Bernie. I appreciate the hard work you're doing. Get his book, The Grave Above the Grave. It's Bernard Carrick. Go and follow him on Twitter and everywhere else as well. Bernie, thanks a million. I appreciate
you.
Thank you. All right, back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. It's the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Some of your phone calls coming up. Got to bring those interviews. Very, very important interviews, very important information. Even the trend on Twitter right now is incorrect, according to Ron Johnson. That's why we brought you Ron Johnson. Let me remind you about something that's great for your family every single time. It is Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks, you know, listen, when they show up at the house, they're in a nice cooler. I know they're fresh. They're sent directly over, and I enjoy them for weeks to come. Your family's going to love this stuff, too. Right now, you can get a gourmet assortment of bestsellers with an exclusive offer just because you listen to my program. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code PAGS, P-A-G-S, he said, in the search bar. And this week, you're going to get Omaha Steaks, and they're going to add 2 pounds of premium ground beef for free with your order, plus free shipping. My favorite is the Butcher's Bestsellers package. It includes the famous bacon-wrapped filet mignon, smoky sweet bacon, fork-tender filet mignon. I love it. Makes my mouth water every time I tell you about it. That's why I keep telling you about it, because I can't wait to have some a little bit later on this weekend. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter PAGS, P-A-G-S, in the search bar. Get the exclusive offer that's not available to everybody else. Get it because you're putting in my code. And when you order today, Omaha Steaks is going to add 2 pounds of premium ground beef free and free shipping. Omaha Steaks has been bringing people together for over 100 years. Enjoy family. Enjoy friends. Enjoy the best steak of your life. OmahaSteaks.com. Put my name in the search bar right now. Okay, hold on the line. Don't have enough time to take, and then I'm going to tell you 10 seconds. It won't be any fun. So hold on the line. We'll talk to you about what Bernie Carrick had to say, what Senator Johnson had to say as well. There's a lot packed into this hour. A lot of it about Hunter Biden, about his emails, about his text messages, about his hard drive, about his father, and what he is and isn't telling us, and whether he's telling us the truth. Keep it here. Much more to come.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there, plus the live video feed. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride on your Friday, a free speech Friday.
Free speech Friday!
Freedom.
Freedom.
That is Kerry Lockie. Kerry, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Getting it done, making it happen, living the life.
Good.
Polo and Sam along for the ride. It's two Fridays in a row for you, huh?
I know. Can you believe it?
What is up with that? I honestly can't believe it. I probably have to.
I'm here for the people. That's what I do. Hey!
Now who is that sweet voice? My voice?
No. Oh, no.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
He don't let us say much. Wanna hear some more.
Joe Pags.
No. Don't ruin the song. Please, Joe, just one day. Let her talk to you, Joe. Huh? Come on, Friday girl. Tell me what you got to say. What you got to say. You can smell it. Really? Let me enjoy the song.
Whatever. Friday. Oh, now bring it to us, girl.
Carrie.
Whatever.
Is even whatever. Great, even with all those dumb things that
you
were playing.
You worked an extra day this week. You just happened to work all the days you were supposed to this week.
Well, please, that's a lot. I'm dealing with a talk show host, and you know.
Yeah, I know, right? You got to put up with the ego and all that, and Polo's attitude, and Sam's such a pain.
No,
it's 888-941 Pegs. Pags, he said. Pegs?
Joe Pegs?
Really? Did I just say Pegs?
You did.
I was trying to respond to you as I was saying my name. What are you laughing about, Polo?
Bigly. Bigly. You're just dropping the bass.
Exactly right. Dropping the bass.
You can smell it.
Exactly right. That's what happens when you put those two together. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. If you didn't hear last hour, I don't know what the hell your problem is. Go to my social media, at Joe Talk Show, or, and that's on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. But Facebook and Twitter have this link now to both Ron Johnson and to Bernie Kerik. You heard from both of them last hour. Both of them have incredible information about the Biden family. Rudy Giuliani and Bernie Kerik call it the Biden crime family. Ron Johnson says his committee did not at all exonerate the Biden family. I don't know why the big media is saying it. It's one of the top trends right now on Twitter that Hunter Biden's dealings had nothing to do with national security or something like that. It's BS. It's a big cover game going on right now. So having both those guys on last hour made a lot of sense because both of them have intimate information, details on the hard drive, and the inner workings of the Biden family when it comes to Burisma, when it comes to that Moscow mayor's wife sending $3.5 million to Hunter Biden and so on. So incredible information. Go check it out online if you haven't seen it, if you didn't listen to it last hour, if you didn't watch it. But watching it's even better. Both of them are on camera, and you see the interviews as if it were a television interview. So I appreciate you doing that. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We'll get into this coyote mess in a second, which is just ridiculous, which is just dumb. The president mentioned coyotes in the
debate. People are very confused.
People, I mean, this just shows me the disconnect people have from reality. So we'll get into that in a second. I do have a few phone calls I want to grab here. And again, they're in reference to Ron Johnson and Bernie Kerik. We had no time last hour for calls because it was such a busy interview hour. But let me go to it. Let me say hello to John in Minnesota. John, what's going on?
Hi, Joe. Well, I just had a quick thought for you.
Yeah.
Hunter or Joe Biden really was not lying when he said he didn't receive money from foreign countries.
Right.
He received the money from Hunter.
Right, and that's
he
what
did
I
not
said.
Receive it from foreign countries.
Yeah, in the interviews I said so, it was very careful wording how he said it. I didn't receive a dime. But of course we know that the information shows Hunter got it and then gave the big guy his piece. Go ahead, what else?
Yeah, and he's got to hop that barrier, I think, because or the authorities do, because this is getting a little bit much. It's getting too technical, and the FBI is backing off way too much, and I don't know where William Barr is.
Well, something has to be done. Obviously, I wonder if Barr knew that the FBI had this for almost a year now, because if he did, there's a problem in the AG's office as well. Stay in Minneapolis. Let's go to Josh. Hi, Josh. What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind you that Bernie Kerik is a felon that was convicted of a major crime after 9/11 for using money that was supposed to be for first responders. And
that's
he was
not true.
Hookers.
No, it wasn't about, what was it about first responders or hookers. Julie. Hey, Josh, he's been pardoned, so his record is expunged. He's not a felon today.
But he's still guilty, though. He's still guilty of it.
If you say so, I mean, you say that he's guilty. The president decided I would pardon him because he didn't feel like the sentence was appropriate, and perhaps he didn't feel like he was guilty. So he's been pardoned. So you saying he's still a felon is untrue.
And your friend Giuliani will be appearing in the Borat movie. You guys got to come check that out, too.
Well, Josh, actually, he'll be on Monday. Would you like me to ask Rudy Giuliani something for you? Because you sound like a real smartass. I wonder what question you'd have for him.
Yeah, I would ask him why he's not in jail. And
why would he be in jail? Why would he be in jail? What did he do to go to jail? Oh, hey, he hung up. Carrie, Josh just hung up. See, here's what happens when you got a phone call badass like this guy. When you got a phone call badass like this guy, he's got it. Carrick's a felon. Well, he's been pardoned. His record's been expunged. He does not have a felony on his record anymore. He can go and vote. He can carry a gun, which he does. And all of that is now behind him. When it comes to Giuliani, he's going to be in the Borat movie, which I've commented on. I guess Josh doesn't listen very closely. But Giuliani says he was tucking his shirt back in after getting the recording equipment unhooked from him. We'll find out exactly what's in the scene. This movie's been seen by a lot of people on the left, and nobody said a word about it since September. Suddenly, this is a big story. At the end of the day, when you say somebody should be in jail, make sure you understand that you're going to have to now give me the answer to this question. What did he do to go to jail? And when you have to go and hang up the phone, that means that you're just a telephone badass. Because I actually said, what would you ask him? And his answer was, why aren't you in jail?
Don't ask him that question. You talk to him. I wouldn't.
Can you imagine asking Rudy Giuliani or asking anybody, hey, why aren't you in jail? This stupid question.
Oh, no, yeah, not a good one.
This is why I do this for a living, and that doofus who just called in doesn't do it for a living. But, Josh, we love you like a brother, even though there's something wrong with you. Let me go back at it and say hello to David, who is driving in Texas. David, what's going on?
Oh, I'm living the dream, Paxi. How are you doing?
Well, you can't ask me now. You took my line.
I know. I always do.
Go ahead. What's happening?
Hey, anyway, I got a question, and I got a poll number for you.
Okay.
My question is, what does the mainstream media have to gain for covering up for the Bidens? I don't get it. Well, I mean, what's their end goal?
They want him to be the president.
Yeah, but again, what's the end goal?
It gets rid of Donald Trump, because Biden will do what they want him to do, which is this Green New Deal, which is a radical leftist outlook, which is a globalist situation. The big media wants him to win because they hate Donald Trump and they don't like this whole America First thing. I mean, it's the same reason why the media wanted Hillary Clinton to win, same reason why the media wanted Barack Obama to win. I mean, go down the list. The media is on the left. They are counterparts. They are in the camp. That's what they gain.
But don't they understand that socialism will destroy them as an industry? I mean, don't they get that?
No, they don't, because you have to understand, they're in the elite. They've made so much money. Because when I see a millionaire or a billionaire who is somebody who's on the left, I often want to ask that same question. Why are you doing this? And the answer is, basically, they have so much money that either there's guilt in how much money they have, or even if they had to pay more taxes and make bigger government and deal with higher regulations, they wouldn't feel it like the regular American would. This is why they tend to lean left. Plus, they frankly don't like this guy, Donald Trump.
I understand that. Let me get to my poll number. Again, I'm a truck driver.
Yeah.
There's about 8 million truck drivers on the road.
We love what you guys do.
And yes, sir. And we appreciate your support, because I know that you understand, you know, we're truck drivers, and we keep America rolling.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, I was only able to poll about 9,412 truck drivers.
That's a lot of truck drivers.
Well, I'm in all 48 states. I'm all over America. But, you know, I asked these 9,412 truck drivers, and all of them agreed that they love Carrie Lockie.
Wow. Did you just go there, really? Is that what just happened?
Oh,
I wasn't even prepared for that.
That is the call of the week.
My God.
Thank
seriously.
You. Oh, no Rick Roll? Oh, there we go.
I thought it was going to be a real poll or something. That just sucked.
That was awesome. Love the truck drivers.
The Rick Roll emotes over in the chat room. I used to love truck drivers. Well, I still do. I used to love that truck driver.
That was awesome.
Wow. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Look, he set it up very well.
He did.
I thought he was going to go to this. I don't know if you saw this, but in Pennsylvania, they did a study, and this is like on MSNBC or CNN or somebody. Let me see where this was. This is on MSNBC. In Pennsylvania, they've got hundreds of thousands of new voters, new voter registrations.
Mm-hmm.
93,000 are Democrats, 184,000 are Republicans.
Really? I have not seen that.
And Trump won Pennsylvania last time. 184,000 new Republican registered in Pennsylvania? I love how Trump called Biden out last night. Biden kept on talking about how he's from Scranton. Trump said, you lived there for like a year. You're not from Scranton. Because Trump just doesn't care. Hashtag Trump don't care. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Before we hit the quick break here, do me a favor, give me the coyote story, because this is so dumb. It made my face hurt. Look, Carrie, look at my face. It hurts.
I understand. From The Blaze, leftists love to call President Donald Trump names, particularly with regard to his cognitive abilities. Idiot, stupid, moron. Yep, that's the leader of the free world, they say. But during Thursday night's debate against Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, Trump apparently really stepped in it when he referred to coyotes, i.e. human smugglers, who illegally bring children across the U.S.-Mexico border. Why? Well, some pretty prominent Trump haters on Twitter lost their minds, no jokes please, because they actually appeared to believe Trump was talking about the furry, walks on all fours, looks like a wolf, coyotes. First up is everybody's favorite scowling, skinny-armed, gun confiscation poster boy David Hogg. He tweeted, imagine calling the immigrant parents that bring their children to the United States for a better life coyotes. The level of xenophobia is sickening. His post as of Friday morning was still active and being ratioed to death. Check it out while it's hot. Next up is Jemele Hill, that former ESPN host posing as a sociopolitical raconteur. The Atlantic gave her a shot, if that's any indication. This is how she reacted. Coyotes, dog, question mark, or how about...
But the next one is my favorite.
Yeah, this is from Drashun Kendrick. She is not only an attorney, but also a member of the Georgia House of Representatives and the chief deputy whip of its Democratic wing. Kendrick was in total disbelief an animal could carry a human across the border. Here she tweeted, did at real Donald Trump just say 545 kids, they can't find their parents. They came over through cartels and coyotes. How the hell does a coyote bring a whole human across the border? Lord, stop talking. Hashtag final debate.
Come on, dude. Come on, man. And then she threatened anybody who comes to her Twitter.
Yeah, she said, letting you keyboard bandits now. You call my phone, you're getting cursed out. You roll up on me, you're getting hit. Don't let the title fool you.
What the heck does that even mean?
I
What does that mean?
I don't know.
So stupid. Just so dumb. Coyotes. All right, so there you go. They have no idea on the left what a coyote is. A coyote is somebody who is, generally speaking, working for a drug cartel, collecting thousands of dollars to bring people illegally across the border. They're people. They're not animals. That's what they're called. The fact that you don't even know that, you have not disqualified yourself from the illegal immigration debate. You may not be in the debate if you don't know what a coyote is, okay? And the latest studies I've seen is that at least 30% of the children who came across the border were brought by coyotes. They were not brought by any relative of theirs. In fact, DNA showed that they weren't related. My God. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We're coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I'm glad to have you, the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Bottom of the hour is going to be Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. So a listener of mine over on Twitter, she tweets me often. Her name is Lil something, Lil Peep. I don't know what her real name is. But Travis Tritt thought, they thought when President Trump said coyote, he meant animal, question mark. I don't know why she tagged Travis Tritt on it, but we're talking about coyotes, right? So I click on it to see what Travis Tritt said. I'm like, hey, Travis Tritt and I probably are like-minded.
I bet you could be friends. Thing. Yeah,
I click on it, and I'm blocked by him. I've never said a word to
really?
Travis Tritt.
Wow.
I don't know Travis Tritt.
It's kind of surprising.
I've never had the man on the show. I'd like to have him on the show. What have I done to Travis Tritt?
I don't know. I used to love his music.
Yesterday, Nancy Sinatra, I'm out. Yeah. For some reason, I am not allowed to follow Nancy Sinatra, which I wasn't trying to, but okay. We know that Tommy Lahren blocks me because she's a snowflake and did a flip-flop on pro-choice, pro-life to be on The View. And now Travis Tritt blocks me.
Well, maybe
so Lil Peep, as you're listening, make sure that you tweet to Travis Tritt asking him why the hell he blocks me. I don't know the guy. That is so strange to me. So it's just odd to me. These people, I know what happened. There was a push by people on the left. I don't know if Travis Tritt's on the left or right. I have no clue. But there was a push by them to mass block people who are conservative, who mentioned Trump in their name, anybody who says, anti-resistance or anything like that. And he might have been one of these people that used that algorithm or that method to block a bunch of people. Because I'm blocked by a bunch of people I've never met, and I wasn't even hardly aware of. And I'm aware of Travis Tritt, obviously, but I have no clue why he would have done that. So there you go. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. To the phone line is going to be Ken in Cadillac, Michigan. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Living the dream.
My
What's
question
happening?
Is, me too. If this investigation does not get cleared up by election time, which clearly is not, with 40,000 emails plus go through, and somehow Biden gets in there elected president, and then all hell breaks loose with all this information, then he gets impeached. Then we have Kamala, whatever her name is, in there as president. That's not going to be good for America. What do you think about that?
Kamala Harris would be the president if he were to be impeached and if he were to be found guilty. Here's the thing. If the House remains with the Democrats, they would never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, never impeach him. They'd probably give him a chance to step down and resign, and maybe that's the whole goal here. I have no idea why Kamala Harris is the vice presidential nominee. She did very badly in the primaries in her own party, so I have no clue why she was chosen. But there's something afoot here. John, Massachusetts, come on.
Hey, how you doing?
Living the dream, John. What's happening?
This whole thing reminds me of The Sopranos. Joe Biden reminds me of Junior Soprano, with the dementia. You know what I mean? They have this FBI laptop. They got this guy, Bubba Linsky. I mean, this is, and they got Giuliani running around with Bernie Kerik, delivering the laptop to the FBI. I mean, this is like, and then you've got Hunter Biden, who's kind of like Tony Soprano's nephew.
Christopher.
You know, this is like a Sopranos episode. This is crazy. So, but there is some similarities between Joe Biden and Junior.
You think?
Just my, you know.
I guess. No, I think that makes sense. For those of you who didn't watch The Sopranos.
On a Friday night.
Yeah, no, I hear you, John. I appreciate that. Junior was sort of the patriarch. I think he was Tony Soprano's uncle, but he sort of, ran things. He was the older school. He was the previous generation. So, for me, this absolutely, Kerik made a reference to it. Sounds like the mob. I've been talking to my friend Michael Franzese, the mob guy that I had on, a few weeks ago, and he says, this is classic mob. This is what these people are. They're dirtier than anybody I've ever seen, and he was in the mob. So, I don't think the reference is a bad one. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. If you missed my interview with Kerik, it's over on YouTube, and it's on Rumble right now. It's on my social media. Go click that link and go watch it. If you missed my interview with Ron Johnson, very telling interview there, too, when it comes to the Biden family and what they are or aren't doing. It's also on YouTube and on Rumble. So go and check that out on my social media, at Joe Talk Show on Facebook and on Twitter. It's at Joe Pags on Parler and on Minds. Keep it here. Coming back.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there, plus the live video feed. It's the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have you here. Glad to have back the senator for the great state of Tennessee. It is Marsha Blackburn. Marsha, how are you?
I am doing great and so happy to join you. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you back. I want to jump into the Amy Coney Barrett hearings and the vote you guys did yesterday in a moment, but I'd be remiss if I didn't start with last night's debate, the final debate, only two in this election year, which is very odd to me. I think that we need at least one more. But I felt very good about how the president presented himself and his agenda going forward. Did you watch, first of all, and how do you feel about it?
Oh, absolutely. I watched, and I have to tell you, I was so pleased that Belmont University there in Nashville was hosting the debate and did a beautiful job of it. We were so happy for them. And the president did a really good, solid job.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to hear most of the pundits say, well, the president won this one. Biden kind of fumbled and stumbled a little bit. And you also had the president who showed he clearly is the outsider,
yeah,
who is there to clean the swamp, drain the swamp, clean up D.C., and fight for the people. And you had Biden who was there as an insider who is going to favor the government and favor the bureaucracy, and even talked about, I'm going to raise your taxes.
Right.
I'm going to implement the Green New Deal by doing away with oil and gas. And by the way, when it comes to health care, I'm going to do a public option, which is nothing more than government-run health care.
Right.
So he left the president a lot of openings to get out there and talk about.
It is Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican, the great state of Tennessee. Always a pleasure. In watching last night, I felt the president really put him into a corner a couple of times, especially where he said, are you going to do away with fracking? Joe Biden has consistently said, no new fracking, no fracking at all. I'm going to get rid of fracking. I'm going to ban fracking. And he's been telling people, I'm going to get rid of fossil fuels. So he was forced to admit last night that he's going to do away with the oil industry. He says in time, but who knows what that means? I mean, Obama went after coal and shut down coal, and that was a big problem. We've got almost 10 million people in this country who work somehow in the oil industry, and those jobs are all on the line now. Did you hear what I heard?
I heard exactly what you heard. And I felt like that probably in the Biden war room, they did just a great big collective ugh and covered their faces when he said that, because now the American people have heard him say, your utility bills are going to go up
by a lot.
Your gas cost for running your car is going to go up because I am going to start implementing the Green New Deal. And that means we're doing away with oil and gas. And, you know, these are those dirty little secrets that they've been trying to sweep under the rug. They just don't want to talk about those.
And he was forced to talk about it last night. It's Senator Marsha Blackburn, the great state of Tennessee. I want to talk quickly about this hard drive, this laptop. He was forced to respond to it last night. This thing has been verified, no matter what Leslie Stahl says. It is his son's laptop. And a lot of the stuff that's on there is incriminating. I don't even care about Hunter Biden per se. I care about the vice president, the former vice president, who now sounds like he's been lying a lot about what he might be involved in. I don't know what kind of detail you have on this, but is this an issue for voters come November 3rd?
It is an issue for voters that are looking at who to vote for.
Yeah.
And I tell you, one of the things that had struck me, Joe, is that you've got a lot of soft votes in the Democrats.
Right.
They're not solid Biden. They're most likely, you know, I don't like how Trump acts, so I'm going to vote for Joe Biden.
Right.
He's got a lot of that vote out there. And hearing that, yes, they have verified this laptop. They do know that this is Hunter Biden's laptop. They do know that from the business partner that is currently in prison, the one that is awaiting sentencing,
right,
and the business partner that finally came out this week, that Joe Biden was involved in some of these discussions. So there is awareness in that regard, and I think that it has led to really more questions. The vice president last night just saying, well, I've never taken a penny from a foreign government. Well, that wasn't the question presented to
him. It wasn't. That's right.
It was, you know, it was your son and brother and your family members have been involved in this. And what do you know about it? What was your participation? And not giving a straight answer to that, I think, was something that hurt him.
And also calling it Russian disinformation is kind of dumb now, because the DNI himself said this is not Russian disinformation.
Yeah.
That's dumb. It's Senator Marsha Blackburn. Let's get to Amy Coney Barrett, and I appreciate that you're on this this Judiciary Committee. You guys did a great job with it. There were attempts by your cohorts on the left to attack her religion, to attack her parentage of a couple of adopted kids, to attack what she would do about abortion or the ACA or whatever, and none of it worked. Talk to me about her steadfastness as she sat there taking no notes, just responding to these ridiculous, you know, questions from the left.
You know, I've said so many times, conservative women are constantly beat up verbally,
right,
berated, ridiculed. So we have spines of steel.
Yes, you do.
And we know who we are and what we are made of, because the mainstream media and the left, you know, if you are pro-life, pro-family, pro-religion, pro-business, they basically say, we really don't care to hear from you. And that has been something that we've learned to deal with. So I think what they saw was a woman who has been able to defend her values, her principles. She is a constitutionalist. She knows how to defend the Constitution.
Right.
She knows how to defend and stand for the rule of law, and she did a beautiful job of executing her appearance in those hearings.
It is Senator Marsha Blackburn, great state of Tennessee, and I always appreciate the time and the access. As I was watching it unfold, I was waiting for the Christine Blasey Ford moment, and it never happened. They don't really have anything on this woman other than she's a Catholic, and I guess we have to ask her if she's an Orthodox Catholic, which makes no sense. But at the end of it, you saw a game, an immature game by those on the left on the committee, to where they shirked their duties. They didn't even show up to vote no. They just put up pictures and stayed home. What did you think about that act they pulled yesterday by not even showing up to do their jobs?
How disrespectful of the process,
yeah,
and of the judge. You know, basically to say, here's what the left says. We are all for diversity, and we want diversity. But when that diversity comes from a woman on the right, they shirk away and they say, no, we're going to take intellectual isolation. We don't even want to hear from her. And wow, they're so disrespectful. What they did was not even show up,
right,
to cast a vote. Now, they are required to provide advice and consent. They know that. And they chose not to do that. Now, sometimes advice is a no.
Right.
It isn't always a yes, but at least you have your say.
Well, at least you can tell where you came from. You can tell your state, I did my best. I don't think that she stands for our values, and I voted no in your stead. But now they can't even say that. It's not even participating, which tells me that they're either incompetent or just shouldn't have the job. It's Marsha Blackburn, the senator from the great state of Tennessee. I appreciate the time. So we go forward now. She's going to be confirmed next week, right? You feel good about that?
Yes, she'll be confirmed on Monday.
And once that happens, does she take her seat immediately? And if so, you know, what,
yes,
what pending cases are we looking at? By the way, and let me just put this out there. I know that you already know this, but just for my listeners and my viewers, nobody's relitigating what John Roberts did on the ACA. That's not true. We're not redoing that case. That's decided. We're now looking at the case, or the Supreme Court has to look at the case, which is California versus Texas, or Texas versus California, whatever it is, about the individual mandate being gone, and it is. Does this legislation hold up without it? And of course it doesn't, because you can't fund it. That's the case. This is, even those on the left, Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and the like, were trying to pretend that the same case that John Roberts took the side of the liberals with is being relitigated. That's not true, right?
You're correct. It is not true. This is a severability case.
So whether or not that this can exist without the individual mandate.
Right, and so this has nothing to do with the John Roberts case.
So does she land in that seat immediately, and does she start listening to cases?
She will be sworn in and will begin to take her position immediately.
Imagine that. One last quick question. I appreciate your time and the access to Marsha Blackburn, the Republican senator of the great state of Tennessee. And the last question has to be, when we saw that Scalia, who was a conservative textualist who loved the Constitution, get overwhelmingly confirmed, and then we saw Ruth Bader Ginsburg completely 180 degrees the opposite way, although they were good friends in real life, get overwhelmingly confirmed. Is there any reason that you can think of, Marsha, why she wouldn't be confirmed 100-0?
No, she should be, and they will not confirm her because they're trying. What they want are activist judges on the federal bench.
And it's amazing to me that they get away with it. Thank you so much for your hard work for the country and for Tennessee, and I appreciate your time today. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Okay, we're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We appreciate having Senator Blackburn on. Great conversation. ACB looks like she'll be confirmed on Monday. Are you hearing anything about what they might try to pull on the left on Monday? Nothing, right? I mean, what else do they have?
I haven't heard anything, yeah.
I can't imagine what they would even have. But will you put some more pictures up? They're going to not vote. You know, I mean, it's a shirking of duty, in my opinion. And again, it used to be, is the person qualified? It wasn't what are the alleged politics of the person. How might this person rule? It was, you know, I don't love this nominee because I know that she leans this way or the other way. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg gets, what, 96 votes, something like that. Scalia gets the same thing, almost unanimous, or it was unanimous. Something has changed to where now we're just going to draw lines and do whatever we want to do. And it's very strange to me. These people need to do their jobs. If these senators are in your, are from your state, there's no reason to keep them in. Why would you keep somebody in who basically said, we're not going to do it? They didn't meet with her. They talked to her on the phone. Many of them, I don't know if they all did. A lot of them left before listening to the other testimony. And then none of the Democrats showed up to even do the vote out of the committee. And that's just rude. I mean, vote no. And then go back to your state and say, here's why I voted no. That would make perfect sense to me. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Got to remind you about Policy Genius. Policy Genius, you know, they say it's Halloween this month, so they want to make it less scary to get life insurance. That's what Policy Genius does. Shopping for life insurance can seem like a daunting task, but Policy Genius actually makes it easy. You just go to a website, right? They combine a cutting-edge insurance marketplace with help from licensed experts to save you time and money. And right now, you could save 50%, maybe even more, by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance when you're shopping for a policy that could last for more than a decade. We're talking about saving a lot of money. Here's how it works. You go over to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. Policy Genius will compare policies starting in as little as... Carrie, for some reason, I cannot say this line, and it's one that I'm going to start having you say for me.
Yes, please.
It starts at as little as $1 a day. That's how good it is. I am so stunned by how good this deal is that I have a hard time saying it. And once you apply, the Policy Genius team is going to handle all the paperwork and red tape for you. And the best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. PolicyGenius.com. If you need life insurance, head to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. You could save 50% or more by comparing quotes. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. From now on, you're saying that line.
Okay. I could get it right. Yeah, I could do it.
I have made a ruling. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Let me go to line one. It's going to be Mark in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Mark, what's going on?
Yeah, a couple of quick things. All those Senate Judiciary Committee members that walked out to Democrats, according to Robert's Rules of Order, an abstention is a vote of support for the majority opinion. So when they go back to their home states, they're going to have to face the music of supporting Amy.
That's interesting. So you're saying that they're going to actually have to explain why they didn't say no?
Correct.
Wow.
And then the other thing... I'm pretty sure that Monday is Hillary's birthday, so it's rather apropos for the day of Amy's confirmation.
Very interesting. So maybe in her confirmation speech, she can wish a happy birthday to Hillary Clinton, who never would have nominated her. That's interesting. Let's go to, let's see here. Let's finish it up with Daryl in Minnesota. Daryl, talk to me. Let's go.
Hey, Pagsy, how you doing?
Living the dream, Daryl Lee. What's
happening? Living the dream. Just like me, I'm a small business owner in Minnesota. I'm living the dream also.
Well, we love you, small business owners.
My father was a politician in Minnesota, and he turned me on to you years ago. And you and Carrie are a super duo. I've got to tell you that.
I cannot. Don't tell her. Don't tell her, but I agree with you. Go ahead. What's happening?
Well, you know, Minnesota, I think, is a state that's going to turn this year. I really do. I'm embarrassed that it's always gone Democrat. There's been so many Trump get-togethers around this state. It's really going to turn this year. But I just wanted your opinion, you know, on, you know, between all this crap that's gone on for the last 3.5 years, people on the left, they have to at least see through some of the bull crap that it's like they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayers' dollars constantly attacking Trump just over and over again. And after watching the debate last night, Trump stepped up to the plate. He acted presidential. He stated facts. And then, you know, you watch the after show and you got the Stephanopoulos show and, you know, they just constantly say, oh, yeah, you know, Biden, you know, he's the winner. And, you know, it amazes me. I just wanted your opinion on what you think that people that aren't on the extreme far left, do you think they have to see through some of that bull crap, right? I mean,
I don't think they do.
Mean, give me your opinion on that.
Well, they're in the choir. And, Daryl, I appreciate you. They're in the choir. So they believe it. They want to believe it. They're going to believe it. And at the end of the day, they're just hearing what makes their ears and their heart and their little souls feel better. It doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if it's righteous. It doesn't matter if you can back it up with fact. What matters is, yay, you're saying what I wanted to hear, so I agree with you. So, yeah, I think that they are deluded by that, and they're not worried about fact. They're worried about their feelings. Let's do some pop culture. Ah! Dirty pop. All right, Polo, what's happening?
All right, so since you have Twitter, you may have already seen this, but Arnold Schwarzenegger today tweeted out that he had, like, it doesn't say exactly when he had it, but he had a new aortic valve to go along with his new pulmonary valve from his last surgery. But he's saying that he's feeling fantastic. He was walking around in Cleveland because I guess that's where he had the surgery. I mean, that's just crazy. He has these two, I'm assuming, artificial valves in there in his heart, and he's still kicking.
It's crazy. Yeah. And again, I knew that he had the heart issues some years ago, but to hear he's got some other procedure done, we had no idea, is kind of crazy. That is Polo. That's Kerry. That's Sam. I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow. Actually, I'll be on tomorrow on the weekend. They'll be back on Monday. We'll see you later.
This is the Joe Pags Show.